Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear the truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of the unsearchable wisdom of God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 11 verse 33 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
We are going to take just one last look at Romans chapter 11. And in doing so, we're going to wrap up this section of the epistle to the Romans, and that's going to pave the way for us to get into the final section of the epistle. The 12th chapter is the beginning of the final section of the epistle, and it's the beginning of the application part of the letter. The letter up until that point is primarily doctrinal. Paul is teaching us the great doctrines of the faith. And of course, that's what we've been studying for quite some time now. And so we're excited about that. I think to take all that we've learned about the mercies of God and all of his grace toward us and all of those great things that we've been studying, and now to come to that place of the application, you know, the timing is right. It's good and appropriate. So here again, just looking at this 11th chapter and remembering the context, Paul, having explained how God's ancient people Israel have been temporarily set aside and the Gentiles grafted into God's olive tree being a figure that Paul uses here in the 11th chapter to describe, you know, the work of God, the family of God. But then Paul went on to assure his readers that ultimately all Israel will be saved. And here in the 11th chapter, they're quoting in verse 26 from the prophets. He said, "The deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now, as Paul is laying this out, as he's talking about this magnificent plan of salvation that God has been executing, it seems that the glory and the wonder of it, it just seems that it really grabs hold of him. And here in the 33rd verse, he just sort of burst forth in praise, really. You know, he's talking about this amazing thing that God is doing, that he's been doing all throughout history, and that will culminate with the restoration of the ancient covenant people. And then in verse 33, this burst of praise, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And so Paul closes this section with this burst of praise. And it's like one of those moments where I think the magnitude of the whole thing, of who God is and who Christ is and what God has done and what God intends to do on into eternity, it seems like it was just like a flash upon Paul's mind. It all hit him at once, and it causes him just to burst forth into this kind of praise. And when we do stop and think about the work of God, when we hear the stories, when we read the scriptures and we see the plan, and when we hear the testimonies of people, or, you know, word gets to us of, you know, what God's doing in a place. You ever have those times where it all just sort of suddenly flashes on you? You just see it all so clearly. And there you are, you're just sort of standing in awe of who the Lord is. That's what's happening here. And that's what's really intended to happen as we consider these things, as we consider this great salvation, as we consider who God is and what he's done and how he's orchestrating all of the events of history to bring about his perfect plan and purpose. And so what I want to do as we conclude this section here is I really want to just talk a little bit about the wonder of God's work in regard to different groups of people, even individual people, to talk about the wonder of God's work, and then to look at this final thing that Paul says here, because the final verse, the 36th verse, is so powerful. For of him and through him and to him are all things. You know, we, I think, easily get distracted from what's really going on. You know, we're trapped in our own little world and with our little problems and things like that, and then we're surrounded by, you know, this material world, and we can easily lose sight of who God is and what he's doing. And it's a good thing, it's an important thing, and I think it's a vital thing to our spiritual survival to take times and to just rehearse the works of God. As you go through the scriptures, many times that's exactly what the people were doing. Think of the Psalms. So many of the Psalms are basically just a rehearsal of all the great things God had done. And quite often, they're written in the midst of adversity. They're written in the midst of difficulty. They're written sometimes in a context where the psalmist can't really see forward. He can't see what's ahead. It doesn't look good, but what does he do? He looks back, and he says, God, you did this, and God, you did that, and you worked in this way, and he encourages himself through that, and we need to do the same thing. And so let's talk for a moment about the wonder of Israel itself, because that's the context here, and that's what Paul is talking about, and that's what brings him to this place. He's thinking about the history of these people. He, of course, is one of these people. He's a Jew. And he happens to be one of those people who are part of the new covenant, where the vast majority of that nation never entered into the new covenant. And Paul is looking at their history. And you remember in the 9th chapter, he's talking about how God sovereignly chose them, how he unconditionally elected them to be his special people that he would work through in the world. But then in the 10th chapter, he talks about the present situation and how their unbelief has excluded them from those privileges. But then remember in the 11th chapter, this is where he talks about the restoration plan that God has. And so here's Paul as a Jew looking back over this long history all the way back to Abraham. And no doubt in his mind, thinking of all of those periods of history and all of the great men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, right on down the line through David and the kings. And that's all that history that's there. But then in the midst of that, all of the idolatry, all of the sin, all of the chastisement, the deportations to Assyria and to Babylon, the destruction of the temple, the restoration under Zerubbabel and Joshua, all of these things. And then Paul is there seeing once again the people of Israel rebelling against God, hardening their hearts, rejecting the Messiah, knowing in his own mind the judgment that's coming, knowing inevitably that the Romans will come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, knowing that the people are going to be dispersed throughout the world, but knowing also that in the future, God's going to bring them all back. God's going to restore them. God is going to be faithful to the fathers. He's going to be faithful to fulfill that prophetic word. And that's what causes Paul to burst forth in this praise. Do you ever have times where you doubt? Ever have times where maybe the enemy's just sort of hammering on you and you know, little suggestions will come here and there like, well, you know, come on now. I mean, could all of this stuff in the Bible really be true? I mean, after all, you've never seen any miracles. And, you know, are you sure that these guys were legit who wrote this down? And the enemy will come along and he will make these kinds of suggestions at times. And he will come along sometimes in a more personal way and say, well, you know, look, God hasn't really done much for you. You've been praying, you've been asking him to help or whatever. And, you know, where's he at? How can you know that any of this stuff is really a reality? Maybe somebody just made all this stuff up. Anybody ever have those kinds of thoughts? I hope somebody else does, because I do occasionally. But you know, there's these other little things that the Lord will just remind you of something. And all of that stuff will just get washed out in a split second. You know, the other day, I had one of those moments. I wasn't going through like any kind of a long season of doubt or anything. It was just a momentary thing where just these little fiery darts were being shot in my direction. And I don't know, I was maybe had too much sugar or something over the holidays. You know, I couldn't think that straight. I was, you know, a little bit of a depression kind of coming upon me. And, you know, all of a sudden, Israel, the nation, flashed on my mind. And I just in an instant, I just thought, you know, if nothing else, the existence of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel proves that there is a God and that the Bible's true. I mean, there's no way to explain Israel apart from what the Bible says about them. There is no way, unique situation, nothing like it in history. And what's happening with them today is just exactly what the scriptures said would happen. That they would come back into the land after a long season of dispersion, that they would be in the land in unbelief, that they would be hated by the surrounding nations, that they would ultimately be attacked by their neighbors, and the neighbors would try to destroy them. I think, man, that's the headlines. That's what we read about all the time, isn't it? And it's these kinds of things. Sometimes the Lord will just give you that, and it will remind you, and then you just go, yes, Lord, you are true. You are righteous. Everything you said is absolutely as you said it was. It will cause us to burst forth into praise. The wonder of Israel. But then there's the wonder of the church. The wonder of the church, how God has taken out from among the nations a people for himself. And we go back again and we follow history back into the earliest days, and we see this little band of men and a few women who put their faith in Jesus. And you remember on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 that was gathered. That's a relatively small gathering, isn't it? And at that point, Jesus has already been here. He's lived. He's performed his miracles. He's died on the cross. They say he's risen from the dead and ascended back to heaven. There's 120 people gathered. Boy, it doesn't seem like he accomplished a whole lot, if you look at it from that point of view. But it's just a matter of time, and that number begins to grow and increase there. And even that day, 3,000 more were added. And then as the years pass by, there's a point in Acts where it talks about the myriads of those in Jerusalem who believed. Myriads is a Greek word for thousands upon thousands. And then we see the church spreading out over the planet and throughout history. And here we are today, some 2,000 years later, and the church is still going strong. And even though some people have predicted the demise of the church throughout history, some people have said, you know, it would just be a matter of time before the church would be no more. And yet, those who have predicted it, they have moved off the scene forever, but the church marches forward. And you think about the miracle of the church with all of the negative elements, all of the attempts by the devil to overthrow the church through oppressive government powers or through corruption from the inside. You know, you would think any other institution that underwent the kind of external and internal attack that the church has undergone, it could have never survived it. But the Lord continues to keep the church moving forward. And there's that wonder of the church. These are people that are being saved. These are people that are being brought into the family of God. This is the church right before our eyes growing and expanding. And notice some of those nations that we looked at, those are nations where you can't be a Christian in some of those places, can you? Malaysia, you can't be a Christian there legally. And Pakistan, you can be a Christian, but you're taking your life into your hands in some of these different places. But the Lord is working. He's moving. And so there is that wonder of the church. And these are the things that cause us to just stop and say, Lord, your wisdom is unsearchable. The depth of the riches, the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are your judgments and your ways past finding out? Who has known the mind of the Lord? You know, we try to figure out God. And, you know, even those of us who know him can't do it. I mean, these other, you know, the new atheist or whoever they are, or, you know, they couldn't even begin to figure out God. We know God and we still can't figure it out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has instructed him? Who tells God what to do? We don't, do we? We ask him to do things. And we see that sometimes he does what we ask him and other times he doesn't. He doesn't apologize, say, well, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't take your advice. Let me explain myself. No, he does what he's doing because he's God. He knows what he's doing. And so we've got the wonder of Israel. We've got the wonder of the church. But we've got the wonder of personal salvation. I love testimonies. Man, it's just so powerful when you hear a person's testimony. It does something. It strengthens our faith. You know, we could go on and on and on with testimonies. I mean, you look at the scriptures, you've got examples of testimonies in the scripture. You look throughout the history of the church, and you've got lots of great stories. But for every one person whose story was written down, there's 1,000 people at least that nobody ever heard of that also had a story. An amazing story of salvation. And every one of those stories would lead to this same kind of thing. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, Lord, you're so good. My wife is amazing at retelling a story. And so yesterday she did an interview on his channel, which she does every Tuesday. And then we went somewhere and she told me the whole story while we drove. And I was so blessed by the personal testimony of this woman that she interviewed yesterday. As she is telling me the story, I'm finding in my own heart, there's just praise for God welling up, just going, Lord, you're so good that you would do that and that you worked in these kinds of ways. And you know, what Paul is saying here, really, Paul hasn't figured everything out. What Paul is really saying is, you know, nobody can figure this out. This is something that God's doing that we don't understand fully or completely. And that's part of the glory of it. That God does things in ways that we would never think of doing them. The story that Cheryl was telling me yesterday, the amazing thing, it was about a particular woman who came to faith in Christ and how she was, you know, not raised in a Christian environment in the least. And she was, you know, had a couple of children, miserable and all of this. And one day, some pastor from a local church knocks on her door and asks her if she wants to know Jesus personally. And she is busy, distracted with the children and all, doesn't even really hear what he says. Come in the house. You can talk to me in a minute. Let me take care of this stuff. So she goes around the house and sorts out everything. Then she comes back. She says, so what did you say? He says, oh, I asked if you wanted to know Jesus Christ personally. Yes, I would like to know Jesus Christ personally. So he leads her in a prayer. But, you know, nothing changes all that drastically in her life. But, you know, she says, okay, yeah, I received Jesus. I'm a Christian now, but there's not a whole lot of change. But then some things start happening, and God begins to work. And she's pregnant, and she goes into the hospital, and there's a situation where she's going to have a child. And they've done some testing, and they find that the child's got a disease, and they're telling her there's no way this child's going to live. It's, you know, that's just what it is. And she's there by herself, and she's crying out, God, I gave my life to you. And I told you I would follow you, and what are you treating me like this for? And how come you're not helping me? And why aren't you doing anything in my life? And she said that at that moment, the presence of God filled that room. And she said, the Lord never said, I'm going to heal, I'm not going to heal. He never said a thing. Just his presence filled the room. And she had this amazing peace. And she came out after having had the baby. And the people were looking at her saying, you didn't have a baby. You couldn't have had a baby. You look perfect. You look so peaceful. And she said, well, I am, because I've got the peace of God. God just spoke to me. But it was just the presence of God. And her son had this rare disease. And there happened to be a doctor visiting from Japan that specialized in that disease and was able to take that baby and treat that baby, and the baby was fine, lived, still alive today. But then the story went on about her husband, an alcoholic and just miserable alcoholic, and accepted the Lord 2 or 3 times, still an alcoholic, nothing's changing, going to church occasionally, but it's all still the same, and she's frustrated and miserable and crying out to God, and he's kind of just like, oh, I don't know what I believe. And then one morning at 5:00 in the morning, he's doing his work as a typesetter. And as he's typesetting, he keeps putting in BC and AD for whatever it was he was doing. BC and AD, BC and AD, BC and AD. All of a sudden it strikes him. Jesus Christ changed history. He invaded into time. And B.C. and A.D. brings him to the point of total surrender to the Lord. Gives his life to Jesus. Calls the pastor of the church at 5 a.m. says, I'm born. I don't even think he knew the term again. He just said, I'm a born one. I'm born. I got born. It was a great story. It was an amazing story about how God works in people's lives. And the things that he does, and how he saves people. And we can't figure it out, and we would never, so many times, you know, we wouldn't do it that way, would we? In the end, we just go, wow, I would have never thought to do it that way. I would have never asked God to do it that way. Sometimes when I'm praying, I find myself, like most of us probably, I like to give God directions, instructions, and things. You know, I've got some pretty good ideas, I think. Lord, I think if you did it this way, it'd be great. And yet I catch myself quite often and I realize, well, Lord, you know, that's that's my 2 cents for what it's worth, probably nothing. But I know that you're already in control. You're already doing something. You already know what needs to happen. You're already at work. God's wisdom, his understanding, unsearchable, beyond our finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? This is our God. But then think of God and the wonder of his providence. It's important, like I said, to hear testimonies and to hear these stories because it reminds us of these truths. The providence of God. You know, I want to encourage you to, of course, as the priority, read your Bible. Study your Bible. But you know, read biographies of great Christian men and women, biographies of missionaries, people like that. Read that stuff because this is where you see what I'm talking about. This is where you see in people's lives this providential hand of God.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of The Unsearchable Wisdom of God. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Unsearchable Wisdom of God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0152. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.